This is VOA News. I'm Jim Bertel. Iran and the United States are trading threats following the death of Iran's top general. Reuters' Julian Satterthwaite reports.
Thousands gathered Sunday morning in southern Iran for the funeral of the general killed in a U.S. drone strike. Mourners wept as a truck carried Qasem Soleimani's body through the streets of Ahvaz. Feelings were running high in the capital too. In Tehran, lawmakers chanted death to America in a session to discuss the killing. Now world capitals wait anxiously to see how Iran will respond. Many have called on both sides to calm the rhetoric. But Donald Trump doesn't appear to be listening. In a series of tweets, the US president vowed to hit 52 sites if Iran retaliates. He says the number represents the 52 Americans held hostage at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran in 1979. The question is whether Iran will heed the warning.
That's Reuters' Julian Satterthwaite reporting. Cybersecurity experts say with Iran bent on revenge, a cyber attack is a non-military way to get back at the U.S. AP's Julie Walker reports.
From cyber attacks on our U.S. banks and other financial institutions to our infrastructure, Iran has done it before and will do it again, says cybersecurity expert Sandra Joyce of FireEye.
They need to attempt to create some symbolic or meaningful action as the revenge that they've been talking about, but it really needs to land short of provoking this full military response by the U.S.
She also says they may attack our elections with disinformation campaigns as they've done in the past.
In some cases, we've seen them actually impersonate political candidates.
Joyce says they can use those cyber attacks to grow anti-American sentiment. I'm Julie Walker.
And from Washington, this is VOA News. Iraqi lawmakers say they will use a special parliamentary session on Sunday to push for a vote on a resolution requiring the government to ask Washington to withdraw U.S. troops from the country. The session was called after a U.S. drone strike killed a top Iranian military commander. The death toll in Australia from deadly bushfires is now at least 23 people. Two of the latest victims are a father and son who were battling the flames. The deadly wildfires, which have been raging since September, have already burned about 5 million hectares and destroyed more than 1,500 homes. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison outlines some of the military assets that have helped fight raging bushfires.
Black Hawk helicopter support has been provided and based out of RAF-based East Sail and has been involved in transporting firefighters from Bensdale to Mallacoota and transporting the injured and vulnerable from Mallacoota to East Sail to receive medical treatment.
The early and devastating start to Australia's summer wildfires has also been catastrophic for the country's wildlife, likely killing nearly 500 million birds, reptiles, and mammals in New South Wales alone. The Somali militant group Al-Shabaab says it attacked a military base used by U.S. and Kenyan military teams Sunday. For VOA, Mohammed Yusuf reports.
A cloud of black smoke will be seen rising from a military base in the coastal town of Lamu. The base hosts Kenyan and American forces. Somali Islamist group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for the Sunday attack. Lamu County Commissioner Irungu Masharia confirmed the attack and says the area is not yet secured.
But the situation has now calmed down, but the area is still not secure for us to go to that place. But life has returned to normal. Our officers are on the ground.
In a statement, Al-Shabaab said it had taken control of part of the camp and it has inflicted casualties in the attack. Kenya Defense Forces in a statement also said they fought off the attackers and four militants were killed.
That is Mohammed Youssef reporting for VOA. Officials say at least 24 people were killed and 23 injured after a building in Cambodia collapsed, trapping workers under rubble. The seven-story concrete building collapsed on Friday in the coastal town of Kep, about 160 kilometers southwest of the capital, Phnom Penh. U.S. President Donald Trump launched a new coalition to secure evangelical voter support for his re-election, delivering a rally-style speech in front of thousands of cheering Christians in a Miami megachurch over the weekend. The ministry is one of the largest Hispanic churches in the United States. Trump's rally there acknowledged the power of evangelical and Latino voting blocs as his campaign tries to shore up support ahead of November's presidential election. I'm Jim Bertel, VOA News.